Welcome back. Episode, what are we at? Episode 12? Episode 12 of Season 2 of the Gifted Performance Podcast, the GPP, bringing you all the knowledge and practical takeaways to improve your own general physical preparedness. I am your host, as always, the Squat Father, and we've got an absolute banger of a packed episode today. We're diving deep into the most important pieces of content, in my opinion, which is the opinion that matters the most, of fitness content for the week. We're going to be looking at a rise in popularity of training geared towards, and this is a new one, you've probably never heard this one before, but geared towards the pegging community. That's not a bad word, Jake. That's not a bad word. So the naughty boy counter, the good boy counter, whatever it's called, we're still going. So we're going to talk about training. If you are interested in learning how to or advancing your abilities to peg your partner, the alleged cure for obesity from one of our followers over on Instagram, interesting stuff there. And last but not least, the most expensive health and fitness grift that you can find. But this episode would not be possible without our sponsor. Our sponsor for today's video is Train with Squat Father. So if you're a competitive CrossFit athlete, you're just starting the open, maybe you only do local competitions, all the way up to someone who's maybe at the top level of quarterfinals, semifinals, or beyond, Train with Squat Father is going to be the best program for your needs. We have scaling options available inside if you're a scaled athlete, an RX athlete, RX Plus, and Elite. All of those options are available within the program. Programming delivered week by week, and you get to be part of a community that can not only discuss the workouts together, but you can discuss your suffering together as well. Train with Squat Father is $50 a month. That is less than $2 a day for the best CrossFit programming. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. The best mixed modal competitive fitness programming on the market. Please, CrossFit, do not throttle this video. Do not send me another cease and desist. The first one was too funny. Jake and I laughed too hard at it. As always, we appreciate you rating and reviewing the podcast. Wherever you are listening, just find the rate, review, subscribe, like button, and just click it a bunch. Leave some comments, leave some reviews, send it to your friends, make fake accounts, comment, review, like from those accounts as well. Anything that feeds our algorithmic overlord what it desires to get this message to out as many people as possible will be in your best interest, because you'll have more people to talk about this with, our best interest, because all of a sudden I can buy that yacht that I've been looking for. I'm looking at it. It's a real nice one, a nice little primo. I'll even name it the GPP yacht, the SS GPP. I don't know. Workshop some names. Maybe if you like one of those names, or if you got one of your own, drop it in the comment. There you go. There's your comment. You don't even have to think of a comment now. I gave it to you. Make sure you go to giftedhq.com. You'll find our one-on-one coaching services, our templates, our automated programming, the Gifted Express. We got things like cookbooks, seminars, training guides, nutrition guides, all sorts of good stuff on there, as well as our self-led certification prep. So if you've been looking to become a sports nutritionist, a certified personal trainer, a strength coach, we've got all of your accelerated certification prep options on there as well. That can be found at giftedhq.com, or if it's a lot easier to find it on gifted-academics.com, a previous episode sponsor, I do believe. Now, this is a special release. These are not on the website. These are not on the store. These are nowhere to be found. This is for podcast listeners only, people who have made it through the ad roll, made it through the intro. You're 5 minutes into the episode. Congrats. We are going to be releasing our limited edition Champions Collection gifted stickers. These are metallic, shiny, gold, gifted logo stickers. They're 2 inches by 4 inches. Slap them on the back of your car. Slap them on your laptop. Put them on, I don't know, your backpack. Put them on your water bottle. I don't really care. Just put them somewhere. Let everyone know that you are part of the Gifted Champions Collection. I think we're going to make like 5 of these. So by the time you see this episode, they might actually be gone already. So if you DM us on Instagram, that's at gifted-hq, or myself at the underscore squatfather. I'll let you know if we have any left, if they're available for purchase. And if you want to bundle that with some apparel, I believe that's how we're going to release it. You can get it that way. All right. That's the ad roll. Jake, 5 minutes or less on ad roll and intro. That's not bad. That's not too bad for me. Now, after seeing the last episode, Jake does a great job editing. Jake's like a fantastic editor. He puts the assets in, edits it nicely, puts the pictures. He's got links going. There's effects. That's all great. After seeing the last episode, I was like, man, I look insane. Got the disheveled beard going on. You can even call it that. My hair is a mess. I should make myself look more presentable for the next episode. But I got a lot of weird, like, schizo stuff to get into today. Some real unhinged-ish, if you will. So I just figured, why would I fix myself and make myself look presentable? I put on a gifted shirt. Why would I make myself look presentable just to talk about some insane stuff? And the first insane thing that we are talking about, it's not even me being insane. It's someone else doing insane stuff. So it's just me commentating in an unhinged fashion on something else that's very, very silly and stupid. Brett Contreras posted this. Dr. Brett Contreras posted this. And if you ever, ever needed a reminder that a PhD in exercise science ain't what it used to be, this would be your reminder right here. So, like, even the name. Okay, so, Jake, just pull up the video, the pegging video, and just run it through and then cut back to me.
This is the latest tool we're using at Glute Lab. It's called the Power Pull. We're using it to build the booty. We do kneeling hip thrusts. Everyone loves it. But powerlifters have actually been using this for over a decade to strengthen their deadlift lockout. Would you use this at your gym?
So Brett's call, oh, Pierce commented on this. I'd use this and make eye contact with everyone around me to assert dominance. Top comment from Pierce. Very nice. 2,900 likes. Hell yeah. All right. So this is called the Power Pull. Jeezy Pete. That's an interesting name for it. Powerlifters have been using this device for a decade to strengthen their deadlift lockout. Yes. Agreed. There is a load that is close to the body that you need to forcefully extend your hips, extend your glutes against through a very abbreviated range of motion to practice that lockout strength. Power pull, power pegging, whatever you want to call this, fine. That's fine for that. I can get down with that. It was invented by Chuck Vogelpohl. Chuck Vogelpohl, I think, is West Side Barbell? I do believe Chuck is West Side Barbell. World record holding. Oh, yeah. West Side under the legendary Louis Simmons. I got to just read the caption all the way through before I start speculating. My squad loves it, feels it working their glutes tremendously. It may look crazy, yes, but it works. No, it doesn't. So here's the thing. Brett has a history of, like, do you remember, like, 5-8 years ago, Brett Contreras, he had like the Glute Lab, and that shit was serious. And there was girls that were coming out of there that were like top level NPC and IFBB competitors, that there still may be. They were doing like heavy hip thrusts, and, you know, bottoming out their squats and doing stuff that really genuinely worked when it comes to building a huge booty. The Power Pull does not do that. One, it looks goofy as hell. Two, it's through such an abbreviated range of motion that you're extending your glutes that it's never going to contribute to large glutes in general. Well, you know, Ryan, it could just be an accessory movement. Why would it be an accessory movement when there are far better glute movements that you can use on an accessory basis? This is a movement that, because of the way it hooks up over your shoulders, compressing your spine, adds axial loading, a tremendous amount of stress, the amount of weight that you can do on an abbreviated range of motion axially loaded workout is tremendously large. Large absolute load equals significantly greater fatigue loaded through the spine. More fatigue for what? For what? For 15 degrees of hip flexion and extension? I'll round it up. We'll say 35 to 40 degrees of hip flexion and extension. Why wouldn't you do a touch and go deadlift? Why wouldn't you do an ass to grass squat? Why wouldn't you do walking lunges? Why wouldn't you do hip thrust? Why wouldn't you do a table glute kickback or a machine hip extension? I'll tell you why, because that stuff's been done a million times over, and now it's played out. You can't generate likes and views and shares on Instagram the way you can when you take this, you know, cute girl, great physique, put a big pole where a wiener would be, load it up with weight, and have her thrust. Brett, you know what you're doing. Great for deadlifters. Great for individuals who are into that kind of stuff. And by that kind of stuff, I mean ladies who like putting fake wieners in people's booties. That's what I mean by that. Not very good for bodybuilders. So the power pull, throw it in the trash with the rest of the gimmicky stuff that we've talked about on this podcast. And let's transition to our next memes and things, which is less of a meme, more of a thing, more of a positive impact on the industry as a whole. My client, Karina, shared this. And I think this is one of the best posts that I've read in a very long time. I don't know who this girl is. Christine Ondeley. Sorry if I said your name wrong, but it's a really good, really, really good post here. And it says, unpopular opinion, the term hormone balancing is a scam. I don't think that's an unpopular opinion. I think that should be the popular opinion. And the unpopular opinion, or the contrarian opinion, should be that hormone balancing is something that a guy or a gal who sit behind their computer screen and obsess over mechanisms that they read in supplement research can balance your hormones. Now, to be clear, to preface this, I do believe that through lifestyle intervention, good nutrition, appropriate training, and some supplemental intervention, we can do our best job or set our bodies up with the ability to create a healthy, homeostatic, hormonal, endocrinological, that's a tough one to say, environment. I think that we can do that. I think that when you have someone who is on the functional medicine side of coaching, more times than not, it's going to be a scam. It's going to be a scam. This is an individual who, yes, you know, okay, I offer these gut health protocols or these hormone balancing protocols, and you surface level, they're talking about mechanisms and they're very educated about those mechanisms. It sounds great. They've listened to plenty of episodes of the Huberman podcast and they can recite the stuff that he's saying. But when you go one step further, one tiny step further with them beyond, okay, I've hired you for coaching. It was $350 a month. That's way, way more than I think coaching is worth, but you're going to balance out my hormones. You take one additional step and they say, okay, the first step is we're going to start this protocol with these 13 different supplements. And when you check out, use my discount code. There it is. There's the giveaway. There's the telltale sign. This person doesn't truly understand and they are financially incentivized to push these supplements. That's what you see more times than not. Additionally, what you'll see from these like gut health and hormone balancing experts is they'll usually tell you to just do some goofy ass stuff. They'll tell you to reduce foods that are high in this and that. You know, stop eating these certain vegetables because they're high in anti-nutrients. And that'll help you balance your gut health. And, you know, you're training too hard. Stop going to the gym for the next 3 weeks. That'll help balance out your gut health. And, you know, stop eating this, that, and the other. And it's like the things that we know, if we're just talking about gut health, the things that we know help the most with balancing out your gut health are going to be a fiber-rich diet, natural sources of fiber, the right amount of exercise, and stress management. Those are the big three. Those are going to be the ones that we know for sure, evidence-based, research-backed, will help with both hormone balancing, whatever the hell that means, and gut health. When someone starts to lead, and that's what Christine is alluding to in this post, when someone starts to lead with supplements and protocols and invasive and huge lifestyle overhauls that are incredibly stressful on the individual to follow through with, Now we're getting away from what we know works into the minutiae. It sounds fancy, but oftentimes it's unnecessary. Okay, Christine, I'm sorry. I had to rant there. Let's get into your actual post. So the second slide says, this is a marketing term largely targeted at women. Yes, it is largely, I would say 90 to 95% is targeted at women. The men that it's targeted at are usually ones that have been abusing PEDs in the bodybuilding space or otherwise, and have just completely tanked their testosterone, their natural production of testosterone. And then you get someone who is like hypogonadal male, and you're like, hey, you know, this protocol can bring your testosterone back. It can't. It can't. And it won't, but that's a very easy selling point because, you know, men like the idea, appeal, like we gravitate towards the idea of, you know, hyperaggression, hypervirility, high testosterone, all this protocol can get me there after, you know, years of being hypogonadal. I'm going to go down that route. And then you're $4,000 in the hole and your testosterone has gone up by 4 points and it's still 150 nanograms per deciliter. You're still half what you're supposed to be on the low end. But yeah, she's right. Most of this is targeted at women, selling them a supplement, strict meal plan or protocol, workout program, etc. So it's usually the combination of all of those. Here's this supplement protocol. Use my discount code. Need to start you on this super, super exclusive, restrictive diet. And then we got to make some changes to your workout program as well because X, Y, Z, yada, yada, yada. It's a lot of mechanisms, very little talk of practical takeaways and practical application. She says there's 50 different hormones in the body naturally and constantly fluctuate based on internal and external factors. Very, very true. Constantly shifting. This is why it's really hard in the research to even look at training adaptations for things like testosterone, estrogen, IGF, GH. It's really hard to measure long-term changes in those hormones as a response to something as simple as exercise because of the large fluctuations in those from day to day. And from week to week, month to month, different parts of the cycle for women, different circadian rhythms, where your hormones fall there. These things are really, really hard to measure. So to have a coach basically say, okay, here's a snapshot of your sex hormones from blood work that you got done one time. Now here's the massive overhaul that we need to make to your entire lifestyle to fix that one single time point. And that single time point might not be reflective of where that person was a month ago or a week from now or 6 months from now. So just to take that one snapshot and say, okay, here are all the changes that we need to make really, you know, drives home the fact that whoever the individual is that's interpreting that and then giving you that suggestion, they really don't understand the basics of endocrinology, which would be the natural, you know, peaks and valleys, you know, fluctuations in hormones throughout months, weeks, years, etc. She suggests asking some questions here. Wait, you'll want to ask these questions. Ah, these questions up here. So when someone claims they can balance your hormones, which ones are they even talking about? Great question. How are they measuring the changes? Great question. What is the effect size of the protocol that you're utilizing? Meaning that what is the percent improvement? Because if the effect size is 1% and they're saying, oh, you know, this $500 a month routine can get you, can improve your, you know, progesterone levels. Well, I'm just throwing out something random here. Can improve your progesterone levels post birth control, whatever, random example. If the effect size of the protocol is 1% and it's not enough to bring you back into what would be considered a normal, healthy physiological range, yes, there's improvements. Yes, you just spent hundreds of dollars. No, you're never going to notice a difference from those changes. She talks about complexity. When you understand the complexity of the endocrine system and how bio-individual it is, meaning that it changes from person to person, it's concerning to see how these influencers are claiming they can balance your hormones. Very true. 100% very true. With how individualized the endocrine system is, you know, not just from individual, in, like not just from like Sally to Cindy to May to April, 2 months lady names in there. I don't know how it's stuck in there, but four different women, you could see just like snapshot of them. They're all individualized in where their hormone levels will naturally sit. A lot of these influencers are handing out templates and protocols and saying this will work across the board. You know, The endocrine system is 1,000 times more complex and individualized than a training or a teen. So if you look at someone and you're like, all right, I have 100 women that came to me and they all want to grow their glutes and their legs and their shoulders, and they want to slim down their waist and have more visible abs. They want to tighten up their tummies. I can write almost the exact same training program for all of them, because training adaptations to training, to resistance training, are pretty standardized across the board. The magnitude of how much a person improves from one training program to another will shift based on a lot of individualized factors, but the program itself will work across the board. It's just the percentage that it improves the individual will change. With something like the endocrine system, there's so much variation from person to person, and so much variation in how they're going to respond to whatever protocol that you put them on. And there's so much variation in kind of how they, you know, how they respond to lifestyle factors, the biggest one, how their specific lifestyle is going to influence their baseline and their response to whatever the protocol is. If you're just handing out copy and paste protocols, which a lot of these coaches and a lot of these influencers are, you're not even close. You're missing the mark by a tremendous amount. So then she goes on to say, what are we dealing with? High or low test, estrogen, cortisol, DHA, thyroid, insulin, progesterone, cortisol, SHBG, high insulin causing high testosterone, what the root cause of the dysfunction is. And that's just scratching the surface. So all of those factors influence each other. We're looking at negative feedback loops, positive feedback loops, feed forward mechanisms, based on, you know, stress and lifestyle and drinking and smoking and training, too much training, too little training, too many calories, too few calories. There's just far too much that goes into this to just say, you know what, this supplement and this diet protocol with this training program will improve your hormones, will balance your hormones, hard stop. It doesn't exist. If it's a coach who's saying, hey, listen, we're going to bring you in, we're going to baseline blood work, we're going to read that blood work, we're going to see what we can do in terms of changing one or two variables at a time, checking blood work again after a couple weeks or, you know, after a couple months, and then revisiting that, moving some other variables around, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I still don't think that they're going to have that much of an impact on, you know, balancing out your hormones. But at least that's an individual that's taking a smart approach and saying, get a baseline, change a couple things, don't change everything all at once, measure again, change some more, measure again, and keep going. So if you really are facing hormonal issues, you need individualized care, like what I just described. You need specific testing to be able to identify which hormones actually need support. And a lot of that is based on the education of the individual. How am I reading blood work? What blood work panel do I actually need? How are these things interacting to each other? So when you are having symptoms, you know, low sex hormone symptoms, low thyroid hormones, blood sugar irregularities, it's very tempting to just jump on one of these protocols, jump on one of these things where someone says that they can fix you because they posted, you know, some stupid book on their story called like Period Power or something, and they told you that calories don't matter when you're on your period. A lot of these influencers throw like stuff like that around just to lure you in without actually ever providing any value, without ever actually knowing what the intricacies of the endocrine system are. So just be wary. Support over balance, support your hormones. I say this a lot. A lot of the coaches at Gifted say this, you know, working with your body is the most important thing that you can do, rather than trying to throw a bunch of new invasive measures, new supplements, blood work all the time, completely changing your training program, doing things in the gym that you don't like anymore, following a, you know, super exclusive diet. That's not the way that you balance out your hormones. That's not the way that you will work with your body. I think this last point is very true. Most people think that like HRT or medication is bad. In some scenarios, supporting your body is replacing those hormones, is hormone replacement therapy, is taking medication. If you're in a condition, or if you have a condition, or you're in a situation where your body just cannot produce the requisite amount of a certain hormone needed to function in a healthy manner, the only recipe, the only path forward is hormone replacement. It's not bad, it's not negative, it's perfectly normal. Get your body back to a healthy point. That includes men taking testosterone replacement. That includes women taking thyroid replacement drugs, things that are needed for the body to function in a positive manner, in a healthy manner, things to return your body to homeostasis so that you can start attacking some other goals that you have in the health, fitness, and performance space. Christine, loved the post, not just because it fits my bias, but it's really well written, really progresses nicely from one slide to the next and goes over the intricacies of what is actually happening here without being like, hormone balance bad, do this instead. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, that brings us to our next segment, which is Instagram grower, YouTube shower. So we use these posts, these text posts on our Instagram to grow them, to attract a large audience, and then we take to YouTube to show what we really mean. We take the short form and we make it long form. This week's post comes from Anthony. So Anthony's post is one that circulates a lot. You'll see a lot of different interpretations of this post, but it basically goes over, you know, when someone says, I can't afford coaching, that usually means your fitness or your goals of competing is not a priority for you. So it's a priority thing. People say, I can't afford coaching, $150, $175 a month to work with someone who holds them accountable and keeps them on the right path towards their health and fitness. I, being someone who values my health and fitness greatly, would say that this is an invaluable resource. Most of us pay more than this for car payment. You know, we got YouTube TV, we got Hulu TV. We're doing all sorts of, we're Uber Eats, $200, $300 a month. So Anthony broke it down into a couple of the more popular ones here. Starbucks every day, $150 a month. That's if you're getting a $5 coffee. Most of their coffees are like $7 now. It's ridiculous. So it could be even more than that. 1 to 2 times a week eating out, $50. Do you think eating out's 50 twice is $50? Eating out is like $50 each time. So again, Anthony went very conservative on this in terms of, you know, how much these all are. And I think most of us probably don't go extreme on these, but we probably split the middle. You know, Starbucks 2 or 3 times a week, eating out maybe once a week, supplements that maybe we don't need, we got sold on that we don't need, pre-workouts, aminos, and, you know, got to get that fresh gym fit rather than just heading over to Walmart and getting your clearance tea of the week. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at @_squatfather. So you can see my clearance tee of the week, $4 at Walmart. You can get some fresh t-shirts over there. I'll wear one next week. But yeah, make your coffee at home. Don't worry so much about your fit at the gym. Stop buying supplements that don't do anything, and you'll have that money that you need for coaching. Now, this is a post that actually got quite a bit of engagement, probably far more engagement than Anthony has gotten on a post in quite some time. And I think it really resonated with people. You can see the comment section is mostly positive. You know, Anastasia Ryder talking about how bodybuilders spend even more than that per month eating out. Dad Brad said he made some financial cuts to work with the gifted team. It was the best decision of his life. Coach Kate says it's the truth. Classic Karan says, man, I'm doing it wrong. I need to buy more clothes monthly and triple scoop. He wants to be spending more money. Get rid of his coaching. Good one there. Funny. But where things got really fun was in the comments that Instagram hid. I don't know why Instagram hid these, because some really stupid stuff from people. This is what I want to actually talk about. Great post from Anthony. Terrible in the comment section. So Surbear says, people have been doing this expletive. Watch your mouth. This is a show for children. You don't need someone that purchased a $150 NPC card to help you. So the NPC card is $100, not $150. So let's get that right. And this is kind of just one of those comments. It's like people coach themselves all the time and they have great success. And then, you know, throwing some shade at Anthony's qualifications. Anthony has a bachelor's degree in exercise science, multiple certifications, has gone through J3U, certified personal trainer, certified sports nutritionist. To say that Anthony's qualifications is a $150 NPC card Is this guy trying to be petty? And then he gets absolutely cooked by yours truly in the comment section. What I told him was, if the people you're referring to is the general population, 40% of adults are obese, can probably use a coach. If the people you're referring to are competitive barbell athletes, roughly 0% of elites coach themselves. Have people coach themselves before? Sure. So 40%+ of the U.S. adult population, obese. 100% could use a coach. Someone to keep them accountable. Someone to keep them up to date on the latest, education around nutrition, training. People to speed them along towards their goals of getting into better shape. The elites straight up just don't coach themselves. Has there been ever an elite bodybuilder, elite weightlifter, elite powerlifter that has coached themselves? Sure. That is maybe 1% of the total at the top of the sport. And then, so I left that there, and our boy Surveyor here just was like, oh man, all right, you got me on that one. It's a decent comment, right? Like, you don't need someone who has no qualifications telling you what to do. I agree with that. But to say that, everyone can just coach themselves is not true. You've got people who have PhDs in exercise science seeking out the help of coaches, because it's more than just the knowledge. It's also the accountability, keeping your head on straight, especially if you're a competitor. When times get tough near the end of a prep, you start to maybe want to do some silly stuff that you need a coach to keep you on track for. And then my boy Youssef. All right, Youssef comes in here. He said, pretty sure he's talking about people who want to be fit enough. This is a weird comment. Pretty sure he's talking about people who want to be fit enough to actually research ways to build a good workout regime, which can easily be done through YouTube. The average of 40% of obese people don't need a coach. Most of them can watch a video on YouTube to learn how to diet, and they can begin doing cardio and find massive improvements in their fitness and reach their goals without paying loads. It's like tutoring in school. If you study your stuff, guys, the language, you don't need a tutor. And this is like the most common counterpoint that we see here, is that the information is readily available on the internet. People can find it themselves and figure it out. They don't need a coach. The same can be true if the pipes in my house break. I can look up how to fix those pipes on YouTube. I can dig up my floor. I can pull up my floorboards and I can start fixing stuff on my own. But I would never do that because, Youssef, I'm not an idiot. I can hire someone who does that for a living to come and handle it for me. I trade my money for the convenience of someone else knowing the information, synthesizing that information, and being able to do this in a succinct and fast manner. Because if I rip up the floorboards and start jamming away on those pipes, we're going to have a serious mess and waste of time on our hands. Same thing in training nutrition. Can people find that information online? Yes. Have they found it online? Probably. They probably know some of that information already on how to build a workout routine, how to do cardio, how to, eat relatively quote unquote clean. People know that, and they don't do it anyway because it's a convenience thing for them. They want to hire a coach to what would take them 10 hours, days, weeks, months. They want to be sped along, and they're fine paying for that. So what I told Youssef was, because he highlighted YouTube, you can just use YouTube and then you'll be in better shape. I told him YouTube was founded in February of 2005. At that time, roughly 27% of the U.S. population was obese. Last year, that number was almost 42%. People can just YouTube their way to a healthy weight isn't the way. And then he goes with what's, the next point that people always make, which is they can, they're just too lazy to do so. So I told him, obesity epidemic solved. Stop being lazy. And he said, the epidemic is laziness and not lack of fitness coaches. So I told him post physique. And then he kept going and he told me I was deflecting, and just, you can go read the comments. Very, very, at first, I was like, all right, this guy's trolling. And then he kept going and being very serious. And he was doing the triple emoji thing that people do when they're flustered. They're trying to make their point. They're trying to like win an argument. So they're just gonna like throw a bunch of like triple emojis in there. Crying, laughing, skull, skull, skull. that's Yusuf. That's the dead giveaway that you're losing, that you don't know what you're talking about. So this is pretty common that we see from people, you know, all fat people are just lazy. Oh, they don't actually want to improve their lives. I can tell you that I have known some people who were overweight or obese. There were some of the hardest working, smartest people that I've ever met in my entire life. They are just subject matter experts that use their time, energy, and willpower somewhere else. And they absolutely could use a fitness coach to take all the information that exists on the internet, synthesize it in a plan that works best for them. They're happy to pay for that. Gifted HQ was built on that. And we've become a multi-million dollar brand by doing exactly that. So Yusuf turns out, and you know what? Yusuf never posted physique. He never posted his physique, which makes me think maybe Yusuf is lazy and obese. But those two don't necessarily go together. It's just specific to him. So a nice little comment section. A great post by Anthony. Super received super well. And then the comment section just divulged into, descended into chaos. All right, that brings us to our mid-roll gifted ad. Hey, last week, I told you guys, I gave you guys a call to action. And I think I said violence in that, and I didn't mean violence. I think that throttled us on the old algorithm because our views went, our views are huge, but our views kind of dropped off there. So I'm going to give you guys another call to friendly, 100% positive, perfectly in good spirit action. Go on over to @giftedHQ on Instagram, not @gifted-HQ. That's us. Don't troll us. And go troll the owners of the Gifted HQ page. Tell them what we went over last week. Big bank, take little bank. Jake, put the Rick Ross song in so people know that we're not messing around.
Oh.
Big bang, take little bank.
Oh.
Also, this is a great album. This is a really, really good album. If you appreciate Rick Ross, you appreciate this era of rap music, it's a really good album for you. And on top of, or when you're done reminding the Gifted HQ people that that's our Instagram account, not theirs, head on over to giftedhq.com and get yourself a 30-minute needs analysis consult. Our 30-minute needs analysis consult are probably the best way to spend $50, get all of your questions answered in terms of coaching questions that you have from one of our coaches, one of our subject matter experts. And if at the end of it, you're like, I feel like my questions have been answered perfectly and, I got all the information that I came for, but I think I'd like to go the route of actually working with a coach. You can use that $50. That $50 is basically a coupon for your first coaching payment. So get your questions answered. Maybe you want to go the route of coaching. Maybe you don't. Either way, you're getting questions answered and you can get a coupon for $50 off coaching if you want to move forward with that coach or another. What kind of results can you expect after a needs analysis consult and a couple months of coaching? Jake, go ahead and throw Mr. Michael Turner's transformation, our gifted client of the week here. Michael came to me in need of some wedding prep fat loss. The man is 30 pounds of body fat down in our first, how long have we worked together, Michael? I feel like we started around Thanksgiving, so that puts us at like 4 months together, 30 pounds down in 4 months. And we can even look at some of his data. Jake, I'll throw this in the assets folder. And you can see that for the most part, it's been a pretty much straight drop down to 235 down to, did I say 30 pounds of fat loss? I meant 20 pounds of fat loss. Sorry. 30 pounds sounds better. 20 pounds of fat loss. I don't want to lie to you guys. From 235 down to 215 and never really got into, what I would consider starvation macros or less than 10 calories per pound of body weight. Still eating 2,600 calories per week. Only doing 200 calories of cardio, 25 minutes, five times a week. Still gets one refeed day per week. No crazy step count either. Sitting at 8,000 steps total. So pretty solid stuff there. Just consistency. No need to starve. Michael told me this is the most food that he's ever eaten in his entire life consistently. He just needed someone to hold him accountable to do that week over week. So this is through Thanksgiving, through Christmas, through the new year. He's currently on his think he's on his bachelor party. I think he's at his bachelor party right now in Tulum, staying on track, working out with the guys on the beach. Very, very busy job that he works as well. Works long hours behind a desk, but doesn't miss any training sessions. And this just goes to show that with that consistency, you don't have to be perfect. As long as you're consistent, you'll get the best results of your life. Michael, really excited to see kind of how sexy you look on your wedding night. Make sure you send me those photos that we agreed upon secretly that you would send me. Wink, wink. Really excited for that. Just excited for you improving your health, improving your fitness, getting stronger in the gym, getting healthier than ever. We love to see that. Michael, our client of the week, send him a virtual high five, everyone. And that brings us to our final two pieces of business for the day, our questions from the Reddit sphere. Last week, we said we were going to start dipping into Quora. Jake sent me a couple questions from Quora, and they were alarming. They were scary. I'm genuinely afraid to answer those. I might answer one or two on my Instagram story here soon. Make sure you go follow me and follow Gifted HQ, because that's where it'll be posted. But for now, we're going to stick to some Reddit questions. So, Jake, our first Reddit question is 4757. It comes from a delicious egg dish. Comes from username Quiche. I wonder why. Like, what compels you? Like, I wouldn't make my Reddit name Omelet. I wouldn't make, yeah, imagine. Actually, that's kind of a good Reddit name, like Denver Omelet. All right, I get it. Quiche, let's answer your question here. Keish says, my partner started working out with me, but I have no idea how to explain what pushing yourself feels like. RPE scale might as well be Latin to her. It's been something that's so innate and that I've known for so long that it's like trying to explain how to walk. Agreed. Assessing intensity of training is something that is a learned skill over time, and it's hard to explain once it's ingrained in you. I just don't want her to get frustrated and feel defeated due to a lack of progress that stems from not pushing enough. Something to address right away. I can see your partner, I can see her getting frustrated if you maintain this attitude towards her. So if you are continuing to tell her, hey, you're not training hard enough, you're not hitting your RPEs, you're not going to progress, I can see that being more frustrating for her than her not being able to accurately assess her own training intensity. So that's the first point that I want to make on that. So the second point that I will make is that when you, Quiche, started working out, you had these same struggles with assessing RPE. And I'm going to tell you something, you probably didn't know what RPE was at the time, and you didn't care. You just showed up to the gym, you trained hard, whatever that meant for you in the day, on that day, in that time, and you progressed just fine. So your partner will learn RPE the same way that you do. Over time, she'll understand what easy training is, what hard training, and what maximal training are. This isn't something that's incredibly hard for people to understand. If I tell you to walk, you know what a walk is. If I tell you to go faster or harder, you will pick it up to a jog. If I tell you to go as fast or as hard as you can, you'll start sprinting. People understand what intensity of effort is. It's just that gauging intensity of effort is a skill that's learned rather than being coded into someone. There's no amount of strength conditioning lectures that someone can take where they'll be able to learn what RPE feels like. It's purely something that is handled via repetition in the gym. Now, some good news here, and maybe something that can rewire the way that this individual is thinking, is that your partner is going to progress very fast solely because of the fact that they're a beginner. Doesn't matter really how hard they're training, they're going to get better no matter what. So they could train at RPE 5, get great results. They can train at RPE 7, get almost the exact same results. Train at RPE 9, get almost the exact same results. The RPE of a beginner doesn't really matter very much, and the research supports this. People grow with 5, 7, 10 repetitions in reserve just because training is a novel stimulus for them. So don't stress about this early on. And don't train, don't ingrain this in your partner's brain that it's something to stress about. Training should be fun, not obsessively prescriptive, meaning that we don't need to obsess about these minor variables of percentages of training max and exact RPEs and linear and wave-like periodization and progression of loads. When you're first starting, show up at the gym, follow a decent training program, learn how to train hard over time, have fun, and don't stress about this stuff. And don't be the disrespectful prick that's like, you don't know anything about training. You don't know how hard you're supposed to train. You don't even know what hard training is. You need to fail. Go to this set of squats and get absolutely buried. And that's the only way you'll ever know what training hard and failure feels like. Holy shut up. Spare us. Please spare us. That is a great way to teach a beginner to have no fun in the gym whatsoever. Let people train how they want early on. Have them follow a decent training program. Let them learn what training hard, harder, and the hardest is over time. Let them progress through that. Make sure they're not spending too much time at hard, harder, or of course, hardest. And they'll do just fine. They'll get the best results of their life. They'll have fun. They'll see the gym being a positive part of their life, and they'll stick with it for the long run. All right, that brings us to 4761, Jake. 4761. This is one that I'm excited about. Comes from Big Awkward Guy. Hey, I don't think you're that big or that awkward. Love ya. Big Awkward Guy says, if my PRs have stayed the same, but my weight has gone down by about 15 to 17 kilos, does that mean I've stagnated or gotten stronger? 15 to 17 kilos over a period of 5 months, that is. 3 kilos a month. Good rate of weight loss. My bench PR was 55 kilos at a body weight of 103. Tried a PR again at 87 kilos, maxed out at 55. So individual has lost 17 kilos of body fat. That's 16. Yeah, 16 kilos of body fat, body weight, whatever you want to call it. And their strength levels have stayed the same. Okay, this individual wants to know if they've gotten stronger or if they've plateaued. So two definitions first that we have to go over. Absolute strength. So absolute strength is defined as the greatest amount of weight that you can lift on a single movement or a single exercise. A 300-pound bench press demonstrates greater absolute strength than a 250-pound bench press. So someone who can bench press 300 pounds in absolute terms is stronger than an individual who can bench 250 pounds. And that's regardless of what the individual weighs. Absolute is just about the weight on the bar. It's not relative to your body weight. When we define relative strength, now we have to factor in your body weight. So an individual who benches 300 pounds at 100 pounds is stronger, absolutely, than someone who benches 330 pounds at twice their body weight. That first example was crazy. Someone who benches 300 pounds at 100 pounds. If there's someone who can do that, please send me videos of someone benching 300 at 100. That was a good example. But the point there is that relative strength factors in your body weight. It's the weight that you can lift divided by your body weight. Relative. That's why it's called relative strength. So if you are not a competitor, if you're not a competitor, you're not looking to compete, you're just looking to be the guy who lifts, guy or gal who lifts the most weight in the gym, what you care about is absolute strength. As soon as you take a step over to the competitive side and you get into weight restricted lifting sports, powerlifting, weightlifting, super total, even to a certain element, and not so much CrossFit. CrossFit does have some bodyweight equated events. I've seen them do that before, but not so much. Really, it's just the powerlifting and the weightlifting where you have to compete in a specific weight class. Now we care about relative strength. So for this individual, if they are trying to be the best weightlifter or powerlifter possible, then the body weight that this individual lost is very important. And the fact that they maintained their strength made them a relatively stronger individual. They are not stronger in absolute terms, but they are stronger relative to their body weight. So when you factor in the relative element, that this individual got stronger. They got stronger relatively in terms of their body weight. you'll get to a certain point where you start to lose so much weight that you actually got weaker. But I suspect that big awkward guy is someone who has more body fat, especially going from 100 kilos to 87 kilos and benching 55. That's an individual that doesn't have a ton of muscle mass, a ton of strength to begin with. So what will probably happen is, you know, maintain 87 kilos for a little while or continue to lose at a slower rate if you want to. And you'll see that bench press go up 60, 65 kilos. Then you're getting both absolutely stronger and relatively stronger as you continue to lose body fat. So really good progress, honestly. And that concludes our Reddit questions. Just two Reddit questions today because the first, you know, the first half of the episode was a little bit longer. You know, I told you that I was going to rant a lot and I went a little cray cray in the noggin. All right. Thanks for watching. As always, you guys are the best in the world. My GPP loyalists, the folks that have been here since season one. We'll see you on the next episode. In the meantime, in between times, and as always, do me the biggest favor that you can. Stay gifted. See ya.